Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, JB and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new anniversary episode of Gaming Uncensored. And, of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
We're going to talk about how old we are, for one. Yes! It's to the point that not only are we very obviously old, which we are very obviously old,
yes,
but now this show is also old.
it's all definitely old.
It's old on its own. It is eligible for a driver's license at this point. That's stupid. That's ridiculous.
It is dumb. You know what's dumber? Your kid's about to be three.
I know. My goodness, that's nuts too. Yeah, she's gonna be three in 2 weeks. Yeah, that's just the worst and the best, but the worst. So, we're going to talk about that a little bit. I'm just going to warn you right now, because you may want to listen to like 5 minutes of this podcast and then like peace out. We're going to talk about Final Fantasy VII Remake for a long time. Maybe the whole show. We might get to a couple other things. There's a couple other things we'll probably throw in. We might try to do a little bit here at the beginning. But we finished Final Fantasy VII Remake, finally. I know, we're almost a year behind, but we finished it. And we were not aware of what the ending was. Now we need to talk about that, because it's a lot.
My mind is still bent.
I know. So if you either already played Final Fantasy VII and just don't care to hear us talk about it for a long time, or have no interest in Final Fantasy VII and have no interest in hearing us talk about it, well, that's what you're in for. We also got a little bit of Cyberpunk news, a few other things that we'll get to if we have time, but it's going to be Final Fantasy VII.
And if you're not a gamer and you're listening to the show, which there are a couple of those, hi, Aaron. Final Fantasy VII is not porn. Just so you know, it is not porn.
I mean,
it's an actual video game. Well, it is porn.
I'm certain there's
like
Final Fantasy VII porn out there. I guarantee it.
but we're not going to be
talking about that.
Right. We're actually talking about an actual video game. So,
yes.
So don't get too freaked out. And then we're actually going to talk about the game that I know a lot of people. I was older at that point, but I actually know a few people that played through the original that actually learned to read using it.
Very nice.
So, because it's all text.
Yeah.
So,
thank God for voice acting,
that.
Right?
Yeah,
man, thank God for a lot of things for the remake. The remake was just fantastic all around, and now we've got the ending of that to talk about. So we'll talk about that. Before we talk about that, as you mentioned, it is our anniversary show, and so we should take probably just a second to talk about that a little bit. 16 years, which is
16 years at this point. It's so old that every time that I post something on the website or on social media, the people that like it, the reason they like it, like I could see Randy Ray's face yesterday as he read it, and I could just see him shaking his head going, again?
Yep.
They made it another year? Aren't they done yet?
Yeah.
Go get a life, you idiot! sense.
That is 100% fair, for sure. And, I'll mention, you alluded to it. There's a great little write-up over at gamingcensored.com that Jamie did, just a little homage to the 16-year anniversary of the show. Go by there if you haven't already. We posted it on Facebook, on Twitter, but if you haven't seen it, gamingcensored.com, it's pretty great. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Well, I actually wrote it as intending for it to be like a dual exercise. And then I got it done, and you took a look at it, cleaned it up a little bit, and you're like, that was it. And I was like, wait, you're not going to say anything? You're like, nope.
My job was to make it formatted halfway decently and find the awesome Kevling illustration of us to put at the top of it.
You know, that guy is still around.
That's great.
So I think he's still around. I think I saw him on something the other day.
That's fantastic. So that little, if you go by gamingcensored.com, the little cartoon of Jamie and I when we were much younger, because this was over a decade ago now that the Kevling was around. But that was done by a listener long ago, who we still love. That was a big part of this show many years ago. So we appreciate it.
So real quick before we get all off of this mushy anniversary stuff, I said in the write up, and I mean it, I have no idea why we're still here. And then the only reason we're still here is that we have crazy people that listen to us. There is literally no adult reason for us to still be here. And I don't know at this point, the show has a life of its own. Like, we're here and we kind of do it, but the show is kind of its own thing. And I can't really, I mean, you look at it and you're like, 16 years, that's a lot. You know, eventually they're going to get tired and they're going to go do something else. But seriously, man, I feel today, actually the anniversary was Sunday. I felt on Sunday and I feel today the exact same way that I felt the first day when we hung a mic from the ceiling and plugged an Xbox mic into your very, very cheap computer.
Yeah.
I feel that same way 16 years later.
Yeah. I believe that computer. So when we started the show, and this still is alluded to in the old intros, even the new intro is still this, which is an old intro at this point. But the Yeti with a modem line, that comes from the fact that when we started this show, I had dial-up internet. That is how long we have been doing this show, is that I had dial-up internet, which is not a thing that, like, probably half the people listening to the show right now even know about. But that's where we started. A Yeti with a modem was me with dial-up internet back in the day when we started. And it was such a big deal when I got cable internet.
It took an entire night to upload the show every time we did a show. It did.
Yeah. Because it was on a 56K modem. It's been a long time. Like you said, an Xbox mic plugged into my computer and then another microphone literally suspended from the ceiling. A, like, Radio Shack microphone that we just hung the cord over a hook from the ceiling, which is, we've come a long way, my friend. And yet,
Can we be honest and tell people I can see it in the shot there? You have a mic hanging from the ceiling.
It's not hanging from the ceiling. It is on a stand, but it does look like it from right here.
If we ever have a studio space, which I swear we will before we die, I'm going to have a mic suspended somewhere like that because that's actually what I prefer at this point. So, that's how we started, and that's what we're trying to get back to.
That's absolutely right. But just to echo what you said, we do this because it's a way that we get to keep talking to each other. We're good friends, and so from just a like personal sanity point, having a friend that I can connect with and talk to video games is super great. This gives us a responsibility to actually do it. Because honestly, yeah. if we weren't doing the show, we would probably still talk to each other, but not nearly as often because life is hard.
No.
But this makes us where we talk to each other a lot. And I'm really appreciative of that, that keeps us having to talk to each other, which is fun.
And I do because our lives are completely different than when we started. We have a lot more in common now than we did when we started 16 years ago. And we talk about a lot of stuff other than what we started talking about. But this is still the core of everything that we do. And it's just, like I said, I feel the exact same way as I felt 16 years ago. And I don't think I'm going to get tired. I just don't see that.
Yeah. It hasn't happened yet, and we're 16 years in. So it's hard to see where that ending is at this point. And so we're gonna be here for a while. And honestly, thank you guys that are here, that are participating, that are listening. If we've never heard from you, thank you for being here. Guys that we hear from on a daily basis, thank you for being here. But that's really obviously having a reason for us to talk to each other is nice. But if there wasn't anybody that was listening to us, like you mentioned in that piece you wrote, it would really defeat the purpose. And so the fact that you guys are here listening to us is also a huge deal. So,
and
go ahead.
Just one more thing. I looked at the bandwidth the other day, and there is literally no way to figure out who or how many people are listening to us because we do a show so sporadically at this point. There's literally no way to track it.
And we're on so many different services and that kind of stuff that they stream and host us from there. And so we don't even know. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
And honestly, we don't care. We know there's a bunch of y'all because you talk to us. And so we know you're there and we appreciate you a ton. So specifically, let me mention the Patreon guys because they give us money. And so they get that special shout out for sure. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew, thank you all for your support. Let me mention, of course, we've been doing the past few shows on video, a handful of shows now. We've been doing it for a while. Yeah. We are using a different service today. We're not doing it on Zoom. We're doing it on Zencastr. We got into a beta for video recording on Zencastr, which gives us a lot of benefits over Zoom, individual video streams that we can edit and make maybe look prettier or more interesting. I don't know, do something with, but we're going to play with it more.
I'm supposed to be professional and not point this out, but do you realize you don't have anything on the green screen back there?
Well, you don't see anything on the green screen, but the people who are watching are going to see something on the green screen. I don't know what I'm putting up there. Probably just in case we got censored logo. But yeah, because we're not doing it on Zoom, I haven't had to put it up yet. So there will be something there that other people are seeing on the green screen.
I love that. That's cool.
So now we have some flexibility. I might just put myself like sitting next to you. I can like green screen out, you know?
Yeah!
And just like we could be just sitting next to each other in your bedroom, awkwardly close because that's the only way it's going to work. But, go buy Patreon and support us on Patreon, and then you can see the awkward video editing I might try to do.
Hey, Zencastr guys, please let us, like, help us out. We love this thing. Help us figure out how to use it. So that we can make you guys look good. If anybody from Zencastr is listening, we want to talk to you because we're having fun with this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool tech. And so we'll see how it turns out. It might suck. And so if it sucks, we still want to talk to you because it's pretty fun tech.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be pretty cool. So yeah, definitely go by Patreon. Check out the video recording for today. Because I think it's going to be pretty fun. So we'll see what happens.
I will admit that even on Zencastr, I do not look like Richard Gere. So there's that. I still look like me.
That's right. Very bearded you. The beard's still coming in strong. Appreciate it.
Which, by the way, before we get on to Final Fantasy, I swear this is the last thing. I have been invited to speak at Lake Meredith Lifehouse Church in Fritch, Texas.
Good old Fritch,
on
Texas.
On Sunday for Valentine's Day. And the reason that I bring this up, two reasons. One, I haven't spoken in front of people other than this show since COVID started. And these nice people have asked me to be funny. And for the first time in probably 15, 20 years, they ask me to do a half hour and I'm nervous because there's no way to like warm up or do anything. And so I have this thing Sunday that I'm supposed to do and I'm nervous. And one of the things that I'm nervous about is, do I shave or not? And the comedian in me says no, because this is funny.
It is funny.
So
yeah, my vote is to keep it, obviously. But
by the way, I'll just mention, for those of you that are now Googling Fridge Texas, if you are a fan of comedians, that is in fact the home of Ron White. Ron White came from Fridge. Yes, the redneck comedy guy, Ron White. I know personally Ron White's sister. She can never remember my name, but I do know her personally. Can I just say this? She can never remember our name. So I kid you not, every time she sees me, she calls me the retard. Because that's all she got. And like, I want to be offended, but you know,
that's exactly whatever. What you'd expect. Like,
yeah,
that's literally Fridge Texas's claim to fame. There's maybe 1,000 people there. It's
yes,
a little podunk Texas panhandle town, but they had a famous comedian come out of there for whatever reason. So there you go. Quickly before we get into Final Fantasy, I mentioned just other games we've been playing really quick. I want to mention Cyberpunk because I've played just a little bit more of Cyberpunk. And I'm so torn about it because in some ways it's so great. And then I have twice now had not game-breaking bugs, but like had to reload a save because I couldn't progress on a quest, like a quest-breaking bug. Twice in a row on main storyline missions. One, and this is still... I'm at the very beginning of the game, especially on the main storyline. And so there's a quest very early on where you, where you're supposed to follow this guy named Dum Dum, which is entertaining. After you have this meeting, and like, I was following him and then he just suddenly disappeared, like just vanished. And then like, reappeared like 100 yards ahead of me, but behind a door that I couldn't get through because he didn't walk through the door. He disappeared and reappeared over there. And so that happened. And then the next quest on the main storyline is with Jackie. And it's the very same thing that happened, except instead of Jackie disappearing, he just clips through the closed door, just walks right through it. And I can't get in the door. And I'm like, guys, you know, like I'm back here. Just can't open the door. And I had to literally reload that save twice before the door was open that I could walk into this room. And it's just... man, it sucks that it's such a good game. And it's just like, how immersion breaking is it? And the first time I had to like actually back up quite a bit because I wasn't expecting it to break on me, you know? And so I was just like, oh, whatever, right. You know? And so the next time I saved right before that moment because I was like, okay, now it's going to break on me. But it just, you know, it's just such a bummer to have that immersion breaking experience that you're like in this world that's cool. Looks so great on GeForce Now, just beautiful. And then you get something stupid like that. Or right before that happened, there was an NPC whose legs had disappeared. She just didn't have legs. She was just floating in midair with no legs. You know? It's just, it's such a buggy mess. And it's a great game underneath all that buggy mess of stuff.
So can I ask you, do they have a quick save?
I mean, I don't think so. So, I mean, you can save at almost any time. There's a couple of times I was like, oh, I probably should save right now. And it won't let you save like in the middle of a, you know, conversation or something like that.
Right.
But otherwise, I think you can save whenever you want. There's not like checkpoints or, I mean, there's there is a checkpoint system and it auto saves for you, obviously. But you don't have to save at a specific location. You don't have to do anything. It's just a menu save. And so,
well,
that does help since it's so buggy that you have lots of saves to recall.
So my next thought on this is, how long do you think we're going to go before this game is actually playable?
I, like, in some ways, I want to say hopefully when they put out the, like, their promised big next gen console update, which is supposed to happen at one point. It's supposed to happen, you know, kind of first quarter this year. Now it's looking at maybe summertime or whenever it is. That's what I would hope they kind of do their big relaunch thing, whatever. Honestly, I just don't know that they're ever going to be able to fix it. You know, like, it's just so buggy that, and again, it's so variable because some people haven't ran into hardly any issues. And I haven't ran into game breaking issues, but just super annoying issues. Like, I have to reload a save and just go through a conversation again, which was nice because I was like, oh, well, let me see what this other option, this conversation does. But like, it's so immersion breaking, right? Like, what you want in a game is to kind of lose yourself in it. And whenever you have to reload a save, you definitely break that immersion, or you have an NPC that just doesn't have legs. Just, yeah.
That, that's terrifying. That's terrifying, because when is it okay to buy the game? Because I have GeForce Now. We paid for that. And now I know I can make the game look good, and it's going to play well even on my internet connection. And so I'm sitting around going, okay, like, when can I buy this game and feel okay about it? Because right now I don't.
Yeah. And you shouldn't. I mean, absolutely. it's not worth $60 right now. And the thing is it's starting to go on sale. Epic has a big sale starting, I think, today or this week or sometime. And it's like 10% off. So it's not like a big sale. But you're going to be able to get Cyberpunk for cheap soon. Go pay $30 for it when it drops down to $30 or whatever. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
And excuse me, one story we may get to if we get to some stories. The source code may just be floating on the internet pretty soon, too. So who knows? Wow. It's a mess, man. CD Projekt just pew. It's ridiculous. So. Apologies. As you can hear, I'm still battling this cough a little bit and laughing.
Well,
you're
still battling it. I literally, if you want to watch the video, I just almost made him fall out of the chair. What I told him to say, why called me a retard. Yes. So that's where the cough comes from, because he didn't expect to laugh that hard.
No, that's 100% true. So we'll see if we get back to that. But for right now, let's talk about Final Fantasy VII, because there's a ton to talk about Final Fantasy VII. So to catch everybody up on what everybody else already knew in the world, except for us, because we're so far behind, Final Fantasy VII is a remake up until the very end, and then it turns into something much, much more than that. And so essentially, for the first 16 and a half chapters of the game, you're playing through the original game more or less, with a few added things which you knew that going through, that they've obviously embellished or whatever. Just one thing you didn't realize is one of those embellishments is actually not about the original game. It's about this whole new world that they're building here. You get to the end of it. I mean, spoilers, obviously. We're not going to try to beat around the bush here in any way. We're just going to lay it all out. Again, the game's been out for about a year, so whatever. If you haven't played it, don't want spoilers. See ya. This is your time to get out. You get to the end of the game, and there's I don't know, what'd you call it? A portal, an interdimensional gate.
A rift.
If
we were watching sci-fi, it'd be a rift.
There you go. So this rift opens up, and you get to go through this rift. And like, things start getting weird at this point. Like, this isn't like the original. Like, this is now feeling weird. This is after you go up Shinra Tower and all that kind of stuff, which, by the way, big weird moment in Shinra Tower when Sephiroth kills Barrett. That's the first moment that I was like, wait a minute. This is different. Something is weird happening here. And so I'm like, did they kill Barrett off instead of Aerith? Is that like what the big twist is or whatever? And then these whispers come back and revive Barrett. And so Barrett's now not dead, which is cool because we like Barrett. And so then it's like, this is getting strange. A little more stuff happens. You get to this interdimensional rift. And then in this kind of weird, like, alternate universe Midgard that's, like, falling apart and gravity barely exists and whatever's going on here, you're fighting, like, the big whisper. What it had a name. I forgot what the name
Harbinger.
Is. Harbinger, yes. The Harbinger that has been summoning all the whispers, these like weird cloaked phantoms that have been flying around throughout the game. And come to find out, the purpose of these whispers through like the whole game has essentially been to keep the story on track, to keep fate aligned, to happen like it was supposed to happen from the original game. And so, for instance, when Barrett dies, when Sephiroth kills Barrett, the whispers come in and revive him because Barrett doesn't die in the original game. And so he needs to live to have the story continue on. And so you go through this, this dimension where you get to fight the whisper harbinger and ultimately his like minions. And there's these three minions. And when you use your assess materia, as I religiously do, it says they're, you know, something about their messengers from the future, you know, incarnations from the future to keep things on track or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it kind of gives away what's going on there, but yet you defeat them. And so now the kind of keep fate on track safety net is gone and things get really, really strange. You find out that like this, the ending of Final Fantasy VII Remake is setting up like an alternate timeline for the original game that is no longer a remake, right? Like, that's the thing.
It's no,
like,
no. I told you it's not a remake. It's a sequel.
It's a sequel.
Yeah.
It's now a new game. And so everything we've been talking about for months now about what are they going to do in part two? Well, we knew what was supposed to happen in part two. Now it's going to all be like, how do we like, kind of do what happens in the rest of Final Fantasy VII, but now with like fate being malleable and changing things. And it just opens up a world of questions, chief among them, obviously. And I think this is what the next part of the game is going to focus on, right? Is what happens to Aerith? Because now the assumption is that Aerith may not have to die. And so getting even deeper into like the weirdness of it, apparently Sephiroth and Aerith are kind of aware of this like alternate timeline thing. Right. And so like Aerith has some lines of dialogue that kind of gives away that she knows what's supposed to happen.
Which by the way, I didn't get any of that until I saw it. And then I went on the internet and looked around and you looked around and they pointed this stuff out and I was like, oh
yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's just it's got me so excited for what's going to happen. But to me, like the thing is now that obviously if things proceeded exactly the same as they did in the original game, Sephiroth loses. Like the end of the original Final Fantasy VII is you beat Sephiroth, right? Aerith is right. Part of the live stream, blah, 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 blah. Like, happy ending, worlds restored. Big meteor, there was allusions to the meteor coming. Big meteor doesn't destroy the Earth, on and on and on. So now Sephiroth, knowing that there's the potential to change fate, my, like, theory is that Sephiroth is going to try to keep you or help you prevent Aerith from dying. Because Aerith dying is one of the key elements on that timeline, on that original timeline that leads to Sephiroth's defeat. And so if Sephiroth can convince you to stop him from killing Aerith, that breaks the timeline, and now things are up in the air.
Well, and he really needs her to kind of sort of make the thing happen, if you really look at it. Where he's trying to get is where her bloodline is from so that he can get the power that he wants. There could be some benefit to him for keeping her alive. And I see another angle where she's like, at some point she's like, this is all good and all fine, but if we want to save the world, I gotta like somebody gotta take me out.
Yeah. Like she has to become part of the live stream. Like that was part of it too.
I could just see her looking at Cloud going, You gotta stab me. And he's like, no.
Yeah, what if it's Cloud that has to kill Aerith in this next game? I don't know, man. It just, it opens up this whole world of crazy possibilities of that being one. The other big kind of twist thing at the end is, at least in this alternate timeline that exists, Zack isn't dead. And so if you remember back, Zack in the original game was a big character in all the flashbacks, because like Zack and Cloud and Sephiroth like all had like the origin story together. They went to Neph or whatever Cloud's hometown is, right? To I don't remember what all happens there. But anyway, things go really poorly. That's where Sephiroth takes a turn. Cloud and Zack get like pumped up on Mako and end up being soldier, whatever, and on and on. But the original timeline story is that, and apparently the whole story of Crisis Core, which I never played, and now I'm super interested in because of all this, is,
you know, they got to remake it now.
I know they absolutely need to remake that, right? Because I don't even know where you get that. It was on PSP. Other than going and finding a PSP, I don't think that game's available anywhere. But apparently the story of that is about Zack. You play as Zack, and who also apparently had a relationship with Aerith. Fascinating. Because Cloud basically becomes Zack, right? Like, Cloud takes the Buster Sword, which was Zack's. Like, that's the whole weirdness of Final Fantasy VII, the original. It's like, at some point, you figure out it's, like, all identity theft, essentially, right? That, like, Cloud just took on all of, like, Zack's persona. Like, he wears the same armor, took his sword, ends up, like, falling in love with the same girl. Like, it's just
He's got the hair, even.
It's spiky hair. Like, they're just different color hair. That's about the only thing that's different between them, right? It's always a bizarre thing to me about the original game, was that, like, the protagonist's identity was actually tied up in this other character and whatever. Like, he has this huge identity crisis thing. But now, in his alternate timeline, like, Zack is supposed to die while trying to get Cloud to Midgar. And ultimately, obviously, Cloud gets to Midgar, but Zack dies on that journey, gets ambushed by Shinra's soldiers and doesn't make it out. But in this alternate timeline, what you see at the end of Final Fantasy VII Remake is that Zack survives and carries Cloud the rest of the way to Midgar. And so, like, what in the world does that do with the timeline? If Zack doesn't die, if Cloud's identity doesn't become, like, kind of essentially what Zack was, what does he play in this new timeline? Like,
and the other crazy thing about it is you see him walking to Midgar with Cloud on his shoulder in the alternate timeline, and Aerith is basically like, "What's up, bro?"
Right. Nobody else sees it, but like Aerith has this like weird like nod as they're walking by each other. Like she's obviously in on it. She knows what's going on here, which is all that more fascinating to see how the next phase of the remake plays out. Which obviously at this point is no longer a remake. Whatever they're doing next is new. We don't know where the story is about to go. Like, you could go back and play the original Final Fantasy VII to get an idea of what's supposed to happen. But now we're in this dual timeline multiverse weirdness that I'm so jazzed about. And I know that it's really polarizing. Like, I knew that the ending was polarizing already because I just seen people talking about it online. And so I knew that some people really didn't like it. And so I was kind of expecting there to be something like weird, like Zack being alive, like that in and of itself would have been like, oh, or when Barrett died, I was like, oh, that's the thing. That's where they changed it. You know, that was my initial thought. And I was like, okay, yeah, that kind of sucks. But then they just brought Barrett back like 5 minutes later. And you're like, oh, never mind. But then you get to the end, and I'm personally super stoked because now I don't know what's going to happen. Like, now they've reopened this world to me to make it completely different than what it was before.
I'm stoked, but I'm also very afraid.
Yes.
Because this is a very Hideo Kojima-type moment. It's a very Kojima kind of a thing. And it's either going to be really good or really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's going to be really good or it's just going to be weird.
Yeah, which it very possibly is going to be weird because the end of Final Fantasy VII Remake got pretty weird. I mean, Final Fantasy weird anyways. It's kind of a weird universe. But the end of it got really weird. You know, obviously super meta when it's, like, very aware of the existence of the original game, not in terms of the game, but that universe exists within this new universe. But this new game is a new universe, not the original universe. And
I'm going to tell you what made me smile when I finally, after doing some research, I'm like, it's 2020 and we're watching Final Fantasy going back to the future. Like, I keep expecting Biff to show up or something.
Yeah.
You know, like Doc Brown and Marty show up at the door and be like, we're here.
That's what it is in a lot of ways, yeah. Right? Like, it kind of is a whole Back to the Future vibe with it, that it's like, now you've got, like, you know, multiple timelines going on, that alternate realities could exist, that Cloud's going to see Cloud across the room and be like, oh, I can't interact with myself. It'll create a paradox, you know, or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. It could get really, really convoluted and really hard to follow and really dumb. I hope they don't take it too far. So apparently it's the same guy that does Kingdom Hearts, right? Now, I haven't been into Kingdom Hearts since the original. Apparently, the Kingdom Hearts timeline is impossible to follow. It just got super, super confusing. And so the fact that it's the same guy that did Kingdom Hearts that's now kind of leading, spearheading this, has a lot of people going, oh, wow, they're going to do a Kingdom Hearts thing to it. I still want to be able to follow what's going on. Like, I like this kind of multiverse thing. But, man, don't make it, like, so crazy that, like, you're just speculating at any time what the truth is. Like, I still want to be able to feel like I can follow along.
So here's my other issue. You put in 35 hours or so.
Seems fair, yeah, somewhere. There, who knows?
There's a whole lot of pausing in it.
Yes.
my math says 35 hours or so. And you got to, like, level 37 or 8 or...
Yeah.
Okay, and so the max in the original was 100, which I hit, you hit, I think everybody hit. You got farther in the leveling system than I expected you to get. And at the end of this first section, the party stuff was just getting good.
Yes.
Can I just talk about the freeway section for a minute?
Sure.
Because I waited 35 hours to see that freeway section with him on the bike and all of that. And I can't believe I'm going to say this. There was a couple of sections where it was really sketchy, but there were all, for the most part, it was really, really, really cool.
Yes.
And looked really good.
Yes.
And so now we're at the end of this first section. You're at level 37, I think.
And apparently the max level in Remake is 50.
See, that doesn't make sense. Because you're already three quarters of the way there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, but that's
just for the first one. Who knows what the level cap is for whatever they put out next.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So... how, I guess you could grind it to 50, like.
So there is, because I looked, I was curious about what's left to do, because it is fairly linear. I think we hit everything through the first time, all the main things. There may be one or a few things, but I did kind of look at a walkthrough here and there just to make sure we weren't missing anything big. There's a few other things. There's another, like, summon materia. There's an ultimate boss fight, like a weapon kind of level fight that you can do. And so I'm kind of interested in going back in those. You can complete the tournaments. And so there's the one in sector or whatever, the Vegas sector.
Five.
And then there's the one in Shinra Tower. Excuse me. And so there's some more fights you can do to level up farther, get a little bit more out of it, which I may go back and do because I just love the game. And so there is post-game stuff that's there, but we did do basically everything going through it. Got all the big gear, got all the materia, got the summons, all that kind of stuff the first time through, and landed, like you said, kind of upper 30s level wise.
So I one thing I will say, I'm upset about one thing. Okay, I watched you play all but the last 90 minutes of the game.
Yep,
and then,
this is dumb.
It's really dumb because it feeds into all the other stuff that has happened this year with speech and all of that. We got we got nearly to the end of the game, like there was an hour and a half left, and you're streaming along, and all of a sudden Sony says, nope, which I don't understand. Like, the screen goes blue, and you see the thing. I don't understand at all, because it's online everywhere. Yeah. Like, why can you not strip? So I literally had to go find my favorite walkthrough guy and watch the end of watch the last 90 minutes, which, again, really pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the my favorite walkthrough guy and the other 80 people that did this told Sony or Square or whoever that, you know, they wanted a copy so that they could specifically do this, and they're all making money off of it. We don't want any money. We just want to play to the end. Yeah. Like, I'm really frustrated about that. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because when it happened to you, I thought, well, crap, there's 90 minutes left at least. What if I don't get to see this? And then I go online and it's everywhere.
Yeah. It's the stupidest thing. The rationale obviously was they're trying to control spoilers. Understandably so, because the ending is big spoiler, big difference than the original is. But right. Like, I doubt that, like, I'm sure that all those other videos that you saw, like, they just ran through a streaming card or whatever. You know, like, there's ways you get around it. You just don't broadcast directly from your PlayStation. Like, it's not difficult to get around that. It's just awfully convenient to be able to hit a button in PlayStation and stream directly to whatever platform you want. They block the direct streaming, but there's a billion other ways you can stream it. So of course it's everywhere. Like, they're not stopping anybody from putting it up. If somebody really wants to put it up, you're going to find a different way to put it up. And like you said, it's there a million times. You could go find the ending to Final Fantasy VII, no problem. Final Fantasy VII Remake, no problem. Like, you're just, like, pissing people off, like us. Because that really did suck. Like, I was playing along and got near the end of the game, and it pops up with a little thing on my screen that just says, entering a screen or whatever where you can't record or can't broadcast or whatever. And I go, okay, fine. You know, like, that's whatever. That happens from time to time. And I thought maybe there's, like, some weird copyright thing they got called out on. There's, like, a song or something, you know.
Right.
But no, nothing like that. And then finally I Googled it just to see what it was. And sure enough, it's like they want to prevent spoilers from getting out. It's just like, you're not going to do that. Like, obviously, like, everybody's going to talk about it. It's like, you're not going to prevent spoilers from getting out, from blocking people from streaming the game. It just, it was a really, really, even if you wanted to, like, do that for, like, the pre-release before the game's release, and, like, reviewers have copies of it and they can't record easily to their system, because it also blocks your local recording. So you, if you're not broadcasting, you can record your gameplay just to your local system. It blocks that too. Which, whatever, if you want to do that for, like, early, you know, review copies, or even if you want to do that for, like, the first month that the game's out, so people just don't go spoil it immediately, I would still be pissed. But it's almost a year after this game came out. What in the world is the rationale in February 2021 that you can't stream the end of Final Fantasy VII Remake on YouTube? Like, there's just no rationale to that that makes any kind of sense.
It makes no sense. And the where I had to go to get it was actually, I had to watch like three ads.
Right.
Like, it would just stop at a certain point and be like, here's an ad. And I'm going, I really like the dude that does this, because when I'm not watching you, he's where I go.
Sure.
And so I really like that dude, but it's like, okay, if he's making money off of it, why can't we do that?
Right.
Like, why is it not okay for us to do that?
Yeah.
And I just was really, really frustrated. And it's not about watching you play the end of the game. It's the principle of the thing. Like, we're a small podcast. We've always been small, regardless of what I might say on a given day. We've always been small. And if this happens here, it could happen anywhere. And what happens if we want to do what those other guys are doing? Like, it's just a pain in the butt.
Yeah. And if we were doing like a Let's Play or something like that, where we had our audience involved and yeah, was blocked out the end there. again, there's ways we could work around it, but it's just obnoxious. It's just not consumer friendly. Like, it's just a dumb thing.
No.
Can I tell you the other thing I really disliked about the ending of the game? That you couldn't play as Red 13. Like, I knew that, like they had said.
They never let you, because I thought you just didn't.
Nope, it's not an option. And I knew that, like they had said that, you know, before the game released, that Red 13 wasn't going to be a playable character in it, which to me said he's going to show up in the game, but like, is it going to play a main role? But it turns out that he's with your party for the last, you know, two chapters of the game or whatever, and would be fascinating to play with, super fun. And I get, like, it's hard to like equip a new character that late in the game or whatever, but like, screw that. Like, you could do it. Like,
it's
whatever.
It's a Japanese RPG, yeah, like, for crying out loud.
They give you new weapons at the end of the game that have, you know, 140, you know, whatever SP that you have to allocate. Why can't you have a new character that pops in that you just learn his playstyle? Red 13 was my favorite character from the original. I loved Red 13. And I loved him in this one. Like, the remake version of Red 13 is great. And I would have loved to be able to play as him. Yeah, so good.
The voice was spot on.
So good. Yeah. I even, like, this my fandom of Red 13 when I was young, when I was in high school. In tabletop RPGs that we used to play, I don't remember what game we were playing. I don't think it was D&D, but something D&D or something D&D related. Like, Red 13 was my avatar for my character in tabletop games. Like, I loved Red 13 so much that he was the like character that I use for other games.
I dig that.
And so
I dig that.
Yeah. I hope he's playable in the next chapters. You would imagine, I can't imagine why he wouldn't be, but it just bummed me out that he plays a significant role and is in your party, is fighting alongside of you. That there's no reason why you shouldn't just be able to switch over to him to do commands for him, whatever he's doing. But it's just not an option, which was, I thought was dumb. Just poor design. And it may have been just a time thing that they felt like they didn't have time to implement it as a playable character or whatever, but yeah, I thought it was dumb. I was really disappointed by it. Overall, it's my favorite game of last year, and so don't hear me wrong. It was phenomenal. And I'm pumped about the ending and what comes next. But there were a few complaints, and those are the two biggest ones to me for sure. The not streaming.
It's really good. And can I say that every battle for like the last 10 hours was built out so well.
Yes.
Every single one of them was like epic. Like, I remember the first time we played Dragon Age, and that was the word that I used for the boss fights. All of these were epic.
Yes. Yeah. It was so rewarding. It was challenging, and yet, like I died a few times, which in the original Final Fantasy VII, like, we've talked about this before, it wasn't a hard game until you got, like, to the end game and we're fighting weapons, and then it was, like, impossible. Like, the range of difficulty from, like, most of the game to the end game stuff was just like, this isn't like that it did have some challenge. I did die some. But I also ended the game with lots of gil and lots of, you know, mega potions and whatever in my inventory. Like, I didn't have to ransack everything I owned either. In part, like, this is something I found in this game specifically. Like, items to me just didn't make a ton of sense. I would be really curious as somebody else who played through it that used items more. But to me, for the most part, it was more valuable to use materia, to use spells, than it was to use items. And you have to choose, because you can only use an item or only use a spell when your ATB gauge fills up. And so it's not like you can just pop potions whenever you want. Which is true to the original, too, right? It took a turn to use an item. You would spend a turn to do that. But it just, like, to me, like, I always had, you know, healing materia, like, basically on everybody. And I had the synergy healing materia, I think, on Tifa at the end. So that if, like, Tifa healed herself, it was essentially a heal all. That it would heal everybody in the party, you know?
Right.
And I'm just like, why do I need items? Other than to replenish MP every once in a while.
And a Phoenix down, when, you know... You needed those. You bought those every time you got a chance.
For sure. And I ended with a bunch of those still in my inventory, but I didn't regret spending that money. Because, excuse me, Cloud is the dude that always died in my party. Like, at the end of the game, I think Cloud was my least effective party member. Like, once I had figured out, like, how to play Barret and Tifa, I love playing as Barret and Tifa. Like, I figured them out. man, they were so good. And Cloud was kind of like, okay, if I'm like, because I had the whatever the materia is that it, like, attacks with that, you know, whatever it's linked to, elemental materia. That, so I had like, you know, the lightning materia linked to that. And so Cloud's just normal attack also had lightning magic damage to it. So if it was like a machine that was susceptible to lightning damage, it was like, oh yeah, I'm going to just waylay on him with Cloud. Otherwise, I'm just like, Cloud, don't die. Cloud, don't die. You know, like, let Tifa and Barret take care of stuff and don't die.
So that brings up a very interesting question. I know we're short on time, but I was curious why you switched blades for the last 4 hours. Because not only you, but everybody else that I saw did.
Interesting.
And there wasn't an obvious, like, there was nothing that I could see. Like, I actually went back, I actually rewound the video and go, okay, why did he just do that? I don't understand why. So that's my other question is, yeah, why did you switch blades?
Part of what I was saying there is that just Cloud didn't feel like as powerful, as useful as those other characters. And so I was trying to change things to try to make him feel a little bit more engaged. And so the blade I had been using was that Mithril blade that was like, right, heavy on magic damage, like enhanced your magic damage and all that kind of stuff, which was fine. And I had like Cloud like decked out with materia, you know, he had the highest, you know, thunder, the highest fire, the highest whatever, whatever. And it just still didn't seem to help that much, you know? And I really enjoyed using that, whatever, the hard edge or whatever it is, a very just melee focus blade, physical damage focus blade.
Right, the one that you won in the Coliseum, I think, was
really good. I don't remember where we got it. But I used for a big chunk of the game that just, like, did massive amounts of physical damage. I was like, Cloud was a lot more fun when I was playing with this blade. And so I'm just going to go back to play with that blade. I know my magic damage is going to suck now because it has, like, no magic damage, like, perks to it. But it was just a lot more fun to play with that blade, so I just went back to that for the end of the game, and I didn't really regret it.
Right,
it made the end of the game more. Cloud still was the weakest character, but it was more fun to play with Cloud when I was playing as Cloud. So, yeah, wasn't anything deeper than that. There wasn't anything in the game that was like, oh, I should change my blade for this reason. I was just like, I'm really bored with this blade. Let me go back to the one I had fun with.
So, the next interesting question that I have is, and it's kind of the same issue as Cyberpunk at this point. We got to wait on the next section of this thing. And if they hold true to the original, we got 4 of these things coming.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a long time.
Yeah, I now, because of this ending, doubt that they're going to stretch it out that long. I think they'll wrap it up in 1 or 2 more chapters, which I'm honestly okay with. I don't mind them hanging it out there, but I don't want to be 60 when we're finishing Final Fantasy VII Remake, you know. They've obviously given themselves a lot of flexibility to do something different with the ending of the first chapter, first episode, or whatever they're calling it. So I would guess there's not a ton more of it coming, but obviously at least 1 more, I would guess at least 2 more. And I think if they could wrap it up in 3, I think that would be ideal.
Yeah, man, the only other thing that I worry about for what's coming, and somebody else said it too, and I don't know if you've thought about it, but this thing really isn't geared for the open world.
Yeah.
Like, it's not built that way.
It's really not.
And the last 15 or 20 hours of the original game, like, it was open world.
Yeah.
You're zooming around everywhere, and you're grinding on weapons, and you're doing, you know,
yes,
all this stuff, and this one's just not built that way.
I agree with that. My only caveat to maybe where they could pull that off is that the first one kind of worked out the same way too, that the beginning of the original is pretty linear before it gets open world. There's this big shift in that game, essentially after you get through the first disc or whatever it is, that the world really opens up, as much as an original PlayStation title was open world. I think that's the other important caveat, right? is what we think of open world today is much different than what open world was for Final Fantasy VII. You could travel around the map where you wanted to go, but that's different than open world of something like GTA or Cyberpunk or something like that. I'm not anticipating it to be a big open world game like that. I do anticipate that they'll have a big world map that you have a handful of different places you can go.
The carnival better be there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's the next big make or break thing, right? Like, just the couple of must-have elements to me the whole cross-dressing stuff. That's just such an integral part to the original game.
Which, by the way, they nailed that because that was cringy as crap.
That was bad.
I was physically uncomfortable watching that.
Yeah, they did a really good, cringy, terrible job with it, however you want to define that. The other one is the carnival. Man, I love that carnival from the original. And so, yeah, I'm super looking forward to that. All the mini games, all the stuff that goes alongside that. That should be awesome in the remake. If for whatever reason that gets cut in this weird new direction they're going, I would be pretty pissed. Like, that's something I really need in that game. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think overall we're happy about it.
Yes.
I really
dug the ending. It made me more excited for what's coming than I was anticipating.
What we talked about with Cyberpunk is not the case here. It's worth every bit of $60.
Yeah.
Go buy it now. If you're into Japanese RPGs at all, it's worth every single dime. It is so good.
So good.
And I don't know, at least for the first section, I don't know what they could have done better. Because one more thing I want to talk about. We have been so spoiled by visuals that I noticed all the way through this, there was only, like, I kept waiting for something to put my jaw on the floor. And what did finally was that hologram.
I
saw that hologram and, like, my jaw was on the floor. And it's like a 4-minute thing that you're watching in Shinra Tower. And that thing rivaled anything that is currently out now that will run on a 3080. It was spectacular.
Yeah.
And I say that knowing that I'm spoiled by games that look good all the time. That was a whole other level.
Yeah. It is a phenomenal looking game from beginning to end. Visually, they killed it. There are definitely moments that are next level. Whenever they were climbing to go to Shinra Tower, climbing out of Sector 7 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That, where you're just looking over Midgar, and even when you're in Shinra Tower overlooking the city, just like walking to the windows, there's a few points that I just had to like stop and like just gawk over the view, you know, like just, it's a beautiful game. It was so well put together, so well executed. Just overall fantastic. So.
And now we got that done. Now we got to finish The Last of Us.
Yes, that's the next thing.
That's the next thing on the list. And I'm so glad that we did it in the order in which we did it in, because I kid you not, folks, that is $60 that he spent that I don't regret at all.
No, we'd do it again. The only regret is we didn't get through it quicker. So. But it is what it is. Really quick, I do want to hit just the CD Projekt story at a minimum. CD Projekt Red's just having a brutal, brutal, brutal time. So the latest thing is they got a ransomware attack that apparently some hackers got the source code for Cyberpunk, for The Witcher 3, for an unreleased version of The Witcher 3, which is really interesting. And the Gwent game, it is threatening to essentially either sell it or just dump it online if they don't pay the ransom. And CD Projekt Red already said they're not going to pay the ransom. And so whatever. There's a lot of speculation they're kind of making this up to try to get some PR stuff. That, from some reporting that I've just seen today, doesn't appear to be the case. Like, there's like legit panic about like personal information, like data breaches and that kind of stuff. Obviously, the kind of game data side of it's a big deal too, but obviously people working for the company care a lot about this. If it is in any way staged or whatever, they're obviously doing really, really stupid stuff. If that ever comes out, like, they're done. Like, there's just no coming back from that. So I don't think that's the case. I think it's just really a crappy 3 months for that company. Like, just brutal time.
Just real quick while we're on that, I think we talked about the fact that either Cyberpunk was going to make them legendary in the way The Witcher 3 did, or it was going to tear them apart. And I think we're seeing which way that thing's going.
To get a little bit meta with it, the through line of Cyberpunk, at least thus far, and we knew this coming in because it's one of their taglines or whatever, but like a constant theme in the world of Cyberpunk is like, you want to like go out in a blaze of glory to become a legend, right? Like, that's kind of the like whole sentiment of Night City, is like, die a legend, like, die young, die doing something massive so people say your name forever. And it's like, in a lot of ways, like, CD Projekt is kind of living that right now. They're like, die a legend. They're gonna die a legend at this point, which is probably not what they had intended, but there is something like weirdly coincidental about like this character that they made, a V, who's like driving purpose is to die a legend, as they are kind of going out in a blaze of glory. And I
feel bad because it's a very BioWare type situation.
Yes,
and we love BioWare. We love CD Projekt Red, yep. And they're looking very, very, very similar at this point.
Yeah.
And it just, like, those companies don't come along every day. I think pretty much the only one left is Rockstar.
Yeah. I'd put Naughty Dog in there.
Yeah. Hey! What are you doing, little girl?
That's Mickey Mouse.
Are you?
Mickey Mouse.
How exciting.
I don't hear him.
Yes, you do. Do you not?
Can you hear me, sweetheart? I'm right here.
Can you hear him now? There he is.
Yep, I'm right here.
I know you could hear him because I could hear him.
So you're going to go watch Mickey Mouse? Mm-hmm. So are you trying to tell me you need your daddy? Is that what you're telling me? That I need to give your daddy up because you're going to go watch Mickey Mouse?
No, I'm not telling you to watch Mickey Mouse.
Oh, you want Jamie to watch Mickey Mouse with you?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I would love to watch Mickey Mouse with you. I would love to do that.
Who's your favorite character on Mickey Mouse?
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse is your favorite character on Mickey Mouse?
When I come watch Mickey Mouse with you, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring cookies. I'm going to bring lots and lots of cookies.
I like cookies.
I know.
Well, that would be a happy day, won't it?
We're going to have fun.
Good times. One more bit of news I'm going to throw in. Go by the show notes, gamingunscensored.com, because there's a lot in there. Obviously, not a lot, but some in there we didn't get to. It looks like E3 is going to be all virtual again this year. ESA is planning on a virtual E3 yet again. And I got to tell you, no, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
I didn't think last year was bad. We're going to do E4 no matter what. If we do it over the course of 2 months again, whatever. But I don't hate it. It was nice to get well-produced content for streaming, as opposed to watching people in a Coliseum enjoying it and getting like shaky cam footage. So,
yeah, I love that idea. You know what else we got to do before E4?
Huh.
We got to get this girl some gear.
Yeah.
She needs like a t-shirt or a jacket or
something.
She needs some gear.
She does. Yeah.
I think I would be all about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
With all that being said, I think that's pretty much everything. So our Facebook website, definitely go by the website because I took a few minutes to write that. So if you haven't seen it, go by the website, check that out.
100%.
Check out the Facebook, check out the Twitter. You definitely want to join Patreon because I got a little girl playing peekaboo with me right now that is really freaking cute.
Are you about to have a birthday? Uh-huh. How old are you going to be? Yeah, are you so excited to be three?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Genevieve, I have a question. Are you ready for a question? Mm-hmm. What do you want for your birthday from your Uncle Jay?
A princess cake.
Okay, help me out with that, Dad. A princess what?
A princess cake.
So okay, I can do that. I can do that.
So yeah, she's getting so our tradition so far with her birthday is I make a Swedish princess cake, which is way too much to go into right now. But that's she's going to get one for her birthday because that's what she gets for all of her birthdays. Sorry, I have a cat trying to pull down acoustic treatment over here.
Well, I will.
Of live shows.
I will figure out what I need to do to contribute to that process. I like that idea. And if I contribute to it, that means I get a piece of cake.
There you go.
I like that. That's a good idea.
She just ran off and stole my fidget cube.
Isn't that fabulous? Yeah, that's the life of having kids right there.
That's right.
It is. We're having fun. I kid you not. Boys and girls, if you are not watching on Patreon, she was just on screen for about 4 minutes there, and it was literally the best 4 minutes of the show.
For sure. 100%.
So you definitely need to go by Patreon, join up there, check out the video, because she is the best looking thing on this show. It's not even close. And here she comes again.
What did Mama say you need to say?
We're out.
We're out! That's it. We're done.
Good job.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.